thought this morning I'd offer a few observations about the way in which the celebration of Christmas has changed over a lifetime in ministry, and it's now quite different from the way things were as I began. I was ordained in the late 1970s, and the pattern of parish life was the one which I'd known also as a young adult growing up in the life of the church. Throughout December, parish organisations would hold a variety of Christmas celebrations to which the clergy were expected to attend. There would be a variety of carol services throughout December leading up to Christmas Day. Christmas midnight was a really big service in which many of the nominal fringe of the Anglican Church would turn up. Sometimes these midnight services were accompanied by disorder incidents as people whose inhibitions had been lowered by a great deal of alcohol consumption and who were not entirely reacquainted with church customs could behave in quite unexpected ways. Christmas Day services were quite well attended too. I remember as a country vicar, really it was a matter of people would turn up en masse to as much religion as you cared to turn on. I would celebrate about 5 times in 12 hours. I was catatonic with exhaustion by the time midday Christmas came round. So that was the pattern that I inherited and that went on for quite some time. But all of that's changed. First of all, the nominal fringe that kind of surrounded the Anglican Church has diminished considerably. So, for instance, at Christmas Day services and Christmas midnight, it tends to be, well, the strangers who turn up tend to be members of other Christian congregations who are holidaying in Dunedin. The other thing is that elderly people, and they make up more and more the life of our congregations, are reluctant to turn out to late night services. And that means that Christmas midnight services have shrunk in size. And that's why we've changed the structure of that Christmas Eve service, brought it forward by an hour. And instead of having half an hour of carol singing, it's a candle-lit service, a meditative service, a very different in structure and nature, which concludes earlier. Well, the other thing, of course, is that there are fewer parish organisations. And what tends to happen in parishes now is that we have programmes rather than organisations, a sequence of events that take place at a certain time in the year, and these programmes don't have December Christmas functions. The other reality is that people travel more now to spend Christmas Day with families. Rather like the Holy Family, they're on the move en masse just before Christmas. And that means that many of our regulars simply aren't here on Christmas Day. So for quite a few now, the 9 lessons and carol service, which we're about to have next this morning, is their Christmas service before they go off to spend time with their families. And 9 lessons and carols always used to be on a Sunday evening, and that's the pattern I inherited here. But the effect of that, since people were reluctant to turn out to 2 services on a Sunday, was that the morning services and 9 lessons and carols were competing against each other. And taking a leaf out of the book of St. John's Roslyn and St. Mary's Timaru, I decided to move 9 lessons and carols into the morning slot, and that has worked much better. But I'm also realistic that many of the people we'll see there we won't see on Christmas Day. Well, we've now simplified the Christmas Day services to 1 brief service, because I think the conclusion one's come to is that the kind of people who turn up to that are often en route to a family Christmas dinner somewhere else and want a kind of short, sharp, brief service while they're on the way to that. I want to make a few observations now about the way in which our surrounding secular society and culture celebrate Christmas. In a way, I'm surprised that they do so with as much gusto as they do. After all, organisations like the Secular Education Network that have declared war on Bible and schools, that are intent on driving the Christian religion out of public life in our society and preventing our young people and children learning anything about the Christian religion, why then do they remain shackled to one of the principal Christian feasts? Why don't we just have scrap public holidays at Christmas and Easter if that's the way we are as a society? I think The reason why it continues on, really refocused as a family day of gathering for feasting and drinking, is because of the Great New Zealand shutdown, which lasts for so long. We need to understand that many other Western societies don't close down for as long as we do. The only other one which does, so far as I'm aware, is South Africa. And I think that tends to keep up the momentum of celebrating Christmas with as much energy and momentum as we do. It's amazing to me that the Great New Zealand shutdown has survived in spite of major changes in our society. Despite the Rogernomic economic reforms that were determined to increase productivity per working person, to change our society to make it a much more energetic and hard-working one, that's one thing that politicians and business leaders were afraid to touch, and that has continued on. Here in this parish, we keep going at full throttle through the new year and January period, because part of what's happening that's on the good side of the ledger is a rediscovery of the fact that Christmas, Epiphany, the baptism of the Lord, Candlemas, you know, the Christ's arrival in the temple, all of these mysteries of the beginning of Christ's life and the beginning of his mystery fit together in a liturgical whole and deserve to be celebrated together. And some wonderful liturgical resources have been provided by the Church of England to do that. And that's what we do. And the other reality is that quite a number of our parishioners now are single people who are here through that period. So it makes all the sense in the world to make a big fuss about all that. Because what used to happen in days of yore, as I began my ministry, is that the clergy would collapse in an exhausted heap after Christmas Day, go away on a long holiday with their families, and all of these wonderful feasts like Epiphany and Baptism of the Lord were completely neglected. So now we have the opportunity to pull all this together into an integrated liturgical whole. And the other thing that we do here, of course, is the watch night service on New Year's Eve. Well, that's something I began to rediscover about 8 years ago in my ministry when I noticed a wonderful sequence of readings in our red lectionary book and began to build a service around that. And that's really going back to the 19th century, where many Christian churches had watch night services on New Year's Eve. That was a custom that was quite widespread. And for some reason, it died out. So we are going back to the past. And that's really the place where I want to conclude these observations. Just a little while back, I heard a radio talk by renowned New Zealand church historian Peter Lynham, who pointed out that in colonial New Zealand, Christmas Day was a day of feasting and drinking and family gathering, and very few churches actually had Christmas Day services or Christmas Eve services. It just didn't occur to them that that's something you should do. Roman Catholics did have midnight service and did have Christmas Day services. Anglicans had Christmas Day services, but not midnights. They tended to be really early, celebrations at 7 and 8, and then people got away to their Christmas celebrations. But Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, Salvationists, just didn't occur to them to have Christmas Day services at all. About as much as they would do is that the Sunday closest to Christmas Day would be marked as a commemoration of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was that people on the Protestant side of New Zealand Christian religion began to notice how popular and well-attended midnight masses were in Roman Catholicism. And first of all, the Anglicans led off by imitating them at quite a late stage in the 20th century and got a really good response. And then other Protestant churches began to do the same and began to add Christmas Day services into their portfolio of regular observances. So in a sense, as I say, we are to some extent going back to the 19th century past in a number of ways.